Hey everyone, welcome to the Tusok Tusok Filipino Food Podcast, where we find out how food figures into everything in our lives.
Here in this podcast, we'll deal with some interesting facts about history and the culture behind our food to start a more conscious discussion of our cuisine.
I'm Pat.
And I'm Matthew, the host of the show.
And we have Teo here, the writer of this episode, to host it with us.
Cue the music! When summer hits the Philippines, there is one dessert that shines above the rest.
That melange of beans, fruit, milk, sugar, and ice, topped with more dessert, has become the quintessential Filipino cooler and a part of our cuisine.
So when Bon Appetit went ahead and made their version of Halo Halo that included gummy bears and popcorn, Filipinos were livid. So what can be in Halo Halo? Where did it come from? And what can we allow it to be?
In fact, where do we draw the line between foreign homage and cultural appropriation?
Ano ba ang pwedeng ihalo at di pwedeng ihalo sa halo-halo? We'll start off with the origins of halo-halo, which leads us to this question I've had in my head for a while. Have you ever wondered how halo-halo, what many would consider a national dessert, has ice? Ice, in a tropical country where the closest thing you'll get to winter is running an aircon in your room while you rub ice on your face.
Well, you know, to trace back the ice in our veins, we need to go back to the middle part of the 19th century, when ships from the United States would bring ice to the Philippines. If you listened to our last episode, which you should, because we talk about Jose Rizal, a few of the Gen Z Starbucks standby, this is also around the time coffee boomed, and then plummeted in the Philippines, because of the very active trade economy then. You may think of it as an early version of a group buy. Hello, keyboard enthusiasts. It wasn't until 1902 when the Insular Ice and Cold Storage Plant was built in what is now the Liwasang Bonifacio Ferry Station along the Pasig River in Manila. Ice production was born in the country with the launch of the Insular Ice Plant.
Okay, so we have the ice, but what about the beans? Well, let's look at a place near the Insular Ice Plant, the Kinta Market. Here lived many Japanese migrants who brought their culture with them. Can you remember a dessert of ice, milk, and beans that the Japanese eat? That's kakigori. Now, they made something pretty similar here that became an instant hit. And that was what was known as monggoya. This was a dessert made of beans, sugar, milk, and ice. This treat would be the predecessor to today's halo-halo.
Okay, so now we now know that halo-halo, a dish we have embraced as our own, has its roots in foreign intervention, both from American corporate industrialization and the Japanese diaspora. We then started adding a little spins onto it. Bananas, beans, kaong, langka, leche flan, ube, pinipig, at syempre, sorbetes. This would evolve into what we know as halo-halo.
And speaking of halo, on a much lighter note, there's another issue with halo-halo I gotta bring up. And that brings us to this edition of Share Ko Lang. The more toppings you put in a halo-halo, the more delicious it becomes, but also, the harder it is to mix. Do you mix your halo-halo only to end up with half of it spilling on the table? Do you commit sin and eat the ice cream first as you go down the glass? If you do the former, this next bit will help improve your mixing game. If you're the latter, well, I'm hurt, but I think you should listen closely. Prepare to hear some wise words of wisdom from the woman of wisdom who is wise, which happens to be my mother. Pause the podcast now and do whatever errands or chores you have to do. I want your full attention for this. Okay, so now guys, I am here with my mother. You guys may call her Tita Lynette. So, hello ma.
Hello.
Okay, so before we get into the topic of discussion, ice actually plays a big role, I guess, in your life.
Yes, of course.
It's your business.
Yes.
When did you decide to get into ice, and why ice?
Well, we started in 2001 when we decided. Kasi your papa goes to restaurant and asks for ice, but ano, lagi daw wala. It's not available or minsan wala pang ice na ano, delivery. Kaya naisip niya, pati sa beer house, naisip niya, bakit kaya hindi ako magtinda ng yelo? So, from there, nag-start kami with a small ice machine. And now, small pa rin. Pero bigger than before.
Okay, so now, I have called you here because I think everyone needs to know. I think everyone should know if they're going to eat halo-halo, they have to eat it the right way. And what I think is the right way is the way that you taught me. So there is a certain way of mixing that prevents spillage, but also gets all the ingredients and mixed together.
Yes, because that's how halo-halo should be eaten. It should be mixed together.
Properly.
Yes. You don't eat it one at a time.
What do you think about the people who eat the ice cream first, tapos yung toppings, tapos yung ice, tapos yung nasa baba? Do you see people doing that?
Yes.
What do you think about it?
I think they are not really enjoying the halo-halo itself. Kasi the halo-halo tastes better if the ice cream gets into the, together with the ice.
And the milk and the other ingredients.
Yes, and the other ingredients. Yeah.
So it's parang, it's a sort of, I guess, the experience is lost.
Yes.
You don't get to have the full experience of eating halo-halo.
Yes, kasi you can buy ice cream anytime naman you wanna eat ice cream.
And you can buy ice anytime you wanna eat ice.
Yes.
Tama. Okay, so let's get to the mixing. So you have a special method. So let's assume that you're eating halo-halo in a tall glass with a tall spoon.
Yes.
So the first step is to take a bit off the top, no?
No. First is you put the whole spoon, it's a teaspoon with a long
handle,
yes. Mm-hmm. Put it up to the end of the glass, mm-hmm. and then you start mixing from the bottom. It's just like pushing it up and down, and then that's the time the ingredients from the bottom mix with the middle part.
So it
right?
starts to go a bit.
Yes.
It starts to rise a bit, yes, and then it mixes in with the ice.
Yes, the ice goes on the bottom part. So it's mixed na. And then, syempre, you cannot avoid naman a little of the spillage ng parang watery part on top. Pero your aim is to put the ice cream with the whole halo-halo glass without spilling any ice cream.
So it takes practice.
Yes.
How long do you think you needed to practice this before you could perfect it?
Actually, maybe twice will be good enough.
So it only took you two times?
Yes.
Tapos ano yan, perfect na?
Yes.
Wow! That's amazing. Okay. So guys, you heard it here. So you put in the spoon at on the side above the side,
yes,
of the glass so that
side.
It's able to go directly to the bottom. Then you shimmy it a bit so that the other ingredients in the bottom mix in with the ice. And
yes,
then from there everything will start to mix around.
Yes. And you try to mix the whole scoop of ice cream with the halo-halo. Avoid eating the ice cream by itself. You can get a little of the watery part of the ice because it would be watery on top. But as much as possible, you try to mix everything before you eat the halo-halo.
Is it
then
possible?
You'll enjoy it.
Ah, yes. Is it possible to eat a bit of the ice cream to make it easier to mix? Or should it be, as much as possible, don't touch the ice cream at all?
For me, I think it's better because the halo-halo will really taste better if it is creamy. If you eat the ice cream, it won't be that creamy anymore.
Okay, so you guys know now how to mix your halo-halo. Well, anyways, thank you so much for enlightening us on halo-halo mixing. I hope that this conversation has taught you guys to mix your halo-halo properly, and so you can impress your friends and family the next time you guys go out to eat halo-halo and you say, "Oh, look, no spillage," and then they say, "Okay, that's great. Now eat your halo-halo." So anyways, that's it for Share Ko Lang. Let's go back to our show.
Before we get to the episode, a quick word from our sponsor. The Mamacita Foundation's Heirloom Grains Project promotes the centuries-old traditions of farming the many different varieties of heirloom rice in the Cordillera region. The Heirloom Rice Champorado is an opportunity for everyone to have a taste of tradition while supporting the communities who harvest the grains. The Heirloom Rice Champorado is available in Omino, Minaagan, Kalingajekot, and Balatinao variants. You can purchase these online in Lazada, Shopee, the Mamacita's website, on Viber, and on the Mamacita's Recipes Facebook page. Like the Mamacita Foundation's Facebook page for more information on other advocacies that bring the best of the Philippines' culinary heritage to the world.
Whichever way you have a mixing it, we know halo-halo to have integral ingredients, which we've mentioned earlier. But recently, there have been other spins that can be a bit, how would you say, unorthodox. For now, let's look at some spins to halo-halo done here in the Philippines.
In the province of Pampanga, Kabigting's halo-halo keeps it simple. Cream corn, mashed beans, and what they call halaya, pastillas made from carabao's milk. This halo-halo is like an intersection between halo-halo and mais con hielo, but it cements itself as a dessert that is 100% Kapampangan.
Cebu is really known for its lechon. And no, I'm not gonna say that there's lechon halo-halo there, but in an essay by Corazon Alvina and Feliz Prudente Santa Maria, they said that the largest, tastiest, and most fragrant ube can be found in Cebu. Ang daya naman, they have lechon na, and now they have the best ube. Favorite ko pa naman yung ube ice cream na yun. So I guess that's on my bucket list if I ever get to travel there. Also, I know our Share Ko Lang segment is finished, but they also mentioned in that essay that there are legends that the ube is the heart of an unrequited lover. Maybe because it's similarly shaped to a heart, and the color purple instead of red kind of makes it seem like it's bruised. And moving on to that, let's go further south. No, beyond Alabang. Let's go south to Davao, where Aling Foping's halo-halo flexes the durian in all its creaminess and sweetness, with a mix of durian jam and durian ice cream, along with pinipig and nata de coco. The dessert is a tribute to Davao's iconic fruit.
So those two last variations are from an article from The Poor Traveler, and you should definitely check out their site if you want to learn more about the few other variations of halo-halo around the country. The last one about to tell you will defy any expectation you may have about its special ingredient. When you think about it, though, it kind of makes some sense. After all, opposites attract. Sweet and sour, crunchy and chewy, cold and hot.
In Laguna, a place called Ben's Halo-Halo has a special menu item they call the Spicy Winter Halo-Halo. Instead of ice cream on top, well, actually, Ben's puts it in the middle. They put chopped chilies on top of the usual leche flan and ube halaya. It makes for an interesting mix of hot and cold. Perfectly balanced, as all things should be, ika nga ni Thanos.
This, of course, was much more fitting than my idea. Ube ice cream on sizzling sisig. Now we've gone through several modifications of the usual halo-halo from around the Philippines. Now let's circle back to the version we mentioned earlier. The recipe Bon Appetit made got a lot of flack, yes, but there needs to be a reason behind the derision. Halo-halo, after all, was a modification to the Japanese Filipino Monggoya, which was a modification of the Japanese Kakigori, and don't even get me started on the history of syrup over shaved ice. There are many iterations of that product and we have no time to get into all that. We do, however, we'll get into one more version from abroad.
So picture, if you will, guys, Coachella 2016. Amidst the crowds of people dancing and partying was a stall that served the halo-halo. The twist? There's fruity pebbles, pineapple, soft tofu, coconut milk, and Red Bull added to the mix, together with the usual ingredients. This version of halo-halo is the brainchild of Chef Isa Fabro of Unit 120, now called La Cita in Los Angeles. The group is known for experimenting with Filipino cuisine. Chef Isa herself is Filipino. That ingredients added, however, were not. Well, you know, just really the fruity pebbles and the Red Bull.
The thing with halo-halo is that it, along with Monggoya, was a product of its society and time. Where we are will shape what we eat and vice versa. Food will change and it will change a lot. The evolution of food starts with the ingredients present at our kitchen counters. Whatever is present there will shape it. A lot of recipes come from the ingenuity and resourcefulness not just of Filipinos, but of humans in general. Halo-halo was just that. It took whatever we had, fruits and beans native to our lands with ingredients produced locally. We then modified the monggoya that existed, and in doing so, made it our own. Chef Isa modified it and made it their own.
Now you may be familiar with the version we mentioned earlier from Bon Appetit. Why did it get a lot of backlash? I'm not saying that this is the actual reason why, but here's what I think. Let's say that you're part of a fandom for a TV series from the past. Now, you're a huge fan of the show for its elements, the writing, the acting, the music, and so on. You find the show to be the holy grail of television, and if anyone were to reboot the show, it has to be from someone who knows the show well and is just as much of a fan as you are, if not an even bigger one. Now let's say that a reboot of the show was announced. However, you soon realize that the reboot pays no attention to the writing or detail that the old show made. How does it feel to have something you hold dear redone to the point where it is far from the thing you so adore and admire? This is that feeling, at least what I think. It stems from a lack of understanding of what Halo-Halo was in the first place. It failed to tell, let alone add to, the story of Halo-Halo because this version's message felt like Halo-Halo is a mix of anything on ice. But the ingredients of Halo-Halo are not random. They all play an integral role in the whole dish. Have you ever mixed together jelly beans with popcorn and milk? No, because the flavors of those individual foods wouldn't work well together in the grand scheme of Halo-Halo. If you like it, however, no judgment. That's fine. Fine. You go have your own fun.
Hi, this is Pat from Post Production. I'll just interrupt our podcast for a bit to bring some news. Last Tuesday, July 6, Bon Appetit actually updated their Halo-Halo recipe. On the old one that got some flack, there's an editor's note where they apologized for decontextualizing and misrepresenting the dish. Tiana G, a chef with Filipino roots, wrote the new recipe for Halo-Halo on their website. And you can clearly see in the new recipe how it stays true to the OG Halo-Halo, while also using some ingredients that are more common in America, like strawberries. And the iconic pieces are still there, like leche flan, makapuno, pinipig, and of course, my favorite, ube ice cream. So I guess that's a welcome character development on Bon Appetit's end. Now, back to the show! I think you explained the whole situation well, though. I think the integral aspect there is respect. And I think that respect comes in the form of research sometimes. Knowing the history behind the ingredients and the cultures you're borrowing from before you actually borrow it.
I also kind of feel like it's important to understand where the food comes from before you kind of recreate it. You kind of have a deeper appreciation of something if you research into it, if you kind of make the effort to find out its history and what it's done or what its versions have been through the years. Eating food is a lot more meaningful if you know its history. And like now in the age of social media, people always say, you know, educate yourself here, educate yourself there. And the phrase has kind of lost its meaning in all the noise that we hear in social media, in all its platforms. But I guess to sift through all of that, this is what we mean when we say it's important to be educated. It's important to know what you're making. It's important to know why you're making it this way. It's not just a matter of putting ingredients together and calling this dish Halo-Halo, a Halo-Halo. It's important for us to know what constitutes Halo-Halo and why it constitutes as such. And it's really just kind of fascinating if you think about it. Like, Halo-Halo is Halo-Halo. Like, if without ice, it's just a mix of sweets, right? But with ice, it becomes something else entirely. It becomes Halo-Halo.
Yeah, and I think that encapsulates what we think about it in general, no? And if our listeners have other opinions about it, they're free to tweet us or comment on our posts on our social media pages to share their own point of view on it. So we've gone through a lot today. We've learned that Halo-Halo, much like the dessert itself, is a mix of cultures intertwined in its web of shaved ice. Its ingredients will tell the story of the ones who pick it and mix it. And we've learned that modifying a traditional recipe is natural, as long as we remember to respect its history and culture. And that's it for this episode of Tusok Tusok. I'm Pat.
I'm Matthew.
And I'm Teo. We'll see you next time. This episode of Tusok Tusok was produced by Patricia Valoria and Matthew Yuching. It also includes guest host Derek Aforte, who wrote the script for this edition. It was researched by Gerard Afable and edited by Patricia Valoria. The theme music was composed by Riley Ugarte, with sound editing by Derek Aforte, and posters and graphic design by Genesis and Galilee Tan. You can follow us at Tusok Tusok Podcast on Facebook and at Tusok Podcast on Instagram and Twitter. We post new episodes every week for Season 1. Episode 3 will be available on Spotify this coming July 18, 2021, so stay tuned.